Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM 360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM 360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM 360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invite you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.com.
Hesitates to believe in the all-knowing being. We can see history of this great country made a lot of mistakes along the way. Now we see a dire need to believe in something greater than all the things.
Assalamu alaikum, and welcome to Not Just Talk on AM360.org. I'm your host, Michael Hameen, and we appreciate you joining us this evening. We've been reflecting today on many rewards that Almighty God has granted us. I had a very lovely day yesterday. Not to say that today wasn't. It was a different type of lovely. Yesterday, my younger sister, came down from Maryland, where she lives now, to identify where she wanted to live in Florida. And she'd identify a particular area in Florida, the house type that she wants to live in. And we had just a lovely time. We had lunch. It was very rewarding. I'm thankful unto Allah. And I was sharing with her how when I joined the Nation of Islam, I was directed by, he was then Minister Lonnie Shabazz, Dr. Lonnie Shabazz, in a private conversation that I had with him as I was coming in the doors of the Nation of Islam in Washington, D.C. He told me, he suggested to me that I not try to teach my family, educate them, but to show them, you know, what the Nation of Islam life had done for me. And I believe with that, Allah made my family a great resource in terms of us, loving and getting to know one another and sharing with one another up to this time right now. And for that, I'm grateful. I'm thankful, appreciative, but also recognizing the obligation on my soul to try to help others, inshallah, to navigate these life relationships that we have. We know we have control. Some of us more than others, we have control over ourselves. But oftentimes we don't realize, even with our spouse and our children, we're not as sensitive to the idea that we have to negotiate with them for better behavior. Not something that we can just plant our feet and say, you know, you're going to do this and you're going to do the other. No, the life relationships are not like that. And the sooner we come into an awareness that life is about relationships, and the relationships have to be negotiated. You know, we have to find ways that we can get better behavior out of one another. And it's an interesting challenge. And it's one that gains rewards for those that have the patience and the willingness to submit to the way life operates. You know, sometimes we want life to go as we see it, or life to be what we want it to be. But life is, you know. Sometimes I have my thoughts about, you know, women, mothers, and their connection with life. But the shaitan has been so busy, the devil has been so busy, that the great gift of intuitive urge that women have such an abundance of has kind of been disrupted. The devil has his, you know, in science fiction, they have these weapons called disruptors. And the devil certainly has his way disrupting what God put in us. I mean, we see that with our father and his wife, Father Adam, and his spouse, how they were disrupted you know, with the simple, the language of, look, I'm your sincere advisor, and I know God told you to stay away from this, but he didn't really mean that you would die. He didn't really mean that. What he meant, we come to find out, that there are different kinds of death, you know, and Satan was playing his game, lying, but with the support from Almighty God's creation. So, no, our parents didn't physically die, but they died in their innocence, and they died in their obedience to God, and they disobedience, as well as the one that offered them sincere counsel. They were all put out of the garden, as the scripture tells us, both the Bible and Quran, as I understand it. This is not just talk on a Thursday night with you as our guest. This is an open mic, and you can press one if you'd like to share any thoughts or insights. I know we've been kind of slow in receiving your comments over the last month or more. You know, we haven't had a lot of activity, but that's okay. This platform that we have is going out across the country and the world, and it also has a component of archiving or putting away in the history vaults these programs, and they're also repeated in the streaming process that AM360 has. Your connection online with AM360.org, 24-hour streaming at 701-719-4197. And you can listen to previously shared programming, previous live programming shared on a repeat streaming basis. You can also, if you're on the World Wide Web tonight listening to us, which oftentimes I will do myself, I'll just tune in to AM360 by way of the web. But some of you are joining us. We appreciate you by way of the phone numbers, 515-605-9891. Again, 515-605-9891. You'll be listening to us live and able to communicate, share your thoughts or questions by pressing 1 on the dial on your phone, and that'll enable us to see you in the switchboard and connect you to join in a conversation. The title again of the program, Not Just Talk. So we're not talking about basketball semifinals. We're not talking about, you know, who shot John, but we're focusing on conversations that will help us do better. Couple of hosts on another type of format, they use the language dealing with their focus on African American life. How does it free us? And I like that kind of focus, because so many of us, even though the Emancipation Proclamation ending for some the chattel slavery is not the full desired effect that we intend, or those citizens of America that were actually aware to the purpose of America, not America the ugly, but America the beautiful America. The ideas that were put forth, even though the ones that were putting forth the ideas were not fully engaged in this idea and the great possibilities of freedom, the freedom of the intellect, the freedom of the mind, and the moral strength. You know, a lot of times, you know, some of us think we know better than God, and we have problems with the way the Creator has organized life. That's regrettable, but there's nothing you can do about it. Life is what it is, and there's nothing we can do about the way life is, you know, except to come to the awareness that I have to navigate life. The Creator put me here in the world for a purpose. My mother and father came together and they produced me as a product of their coming together. And it's a process that's been going on for thousands upon thousands of years. The sooner we realize that there's no accidents per se, it wasn't an accident that they came together and produced me. I'm here for a purpose. There's an aim and a purpose to life. We watch how life grows and stage by stage of human life and other life, particularly when we look at how nature operates. We learn there are lessons to be learned from nature. And those lessons keep us connected, keep us grounded. And again, this is not just talk on am360.org. We invite you to press 1 and come into the conversation. This is Open Mic Thursday. We do have guests. You're our guest speakers. So we ask you to perform your function as a guest speaker. Press 1 and share with us your thoughts and comments. And we will proceed this evening. We always have something that we can share. We started already in sharing, and we were in a class this afternoon, and the subject was taking us to reflect on fasting. We looked at the process in which Prophet Muhammad prays the upon. But we were made aware that the way that Imam Wahdeen Muhammad had shared insight into the religion, into those aspects of the religion, the Shahada, that is witnessing oneness of God, the Salat, the devotional exercise, prayers, if you will, that we perform as Muslims, and how we as Muslims see prayer, not only salat, but also supplication to God. That's called dua. The zakat, the function of sharing part of our resources with an understanding through an actual tax percentage of our resources, giving that tax once a year, how that purifies our material life, you know, our resources, purification of our resources. And it also pointing to a resource, a way of establishing for the Muslim economic system with this principle in it, principle of purification in the economic system. And zakat is pointing to that. Zakat is that for us once we come to the kind of insight that is needed for us to establish our economy, you know, independently of others, maybe interdependent. Yes, say that with our interdependent economy. For those of us here in America, whereby our Muslim principles, our Muslim standards, enable us to establish institutional life and economic part of that establishment as community people. So the Ramadan fast is a exercise for the individual to become more aware of what God intends for us as in our individual and social life. He intends for us to come to an understanding the guidance that he has established in the Quran, Holy Quran. So we were looking at Ramadan this afternoon, last night, with the instructor guiding us the Hadith report on the establishment of Ramadan, and Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, going to the cave, and Prophet Muhammad coming into contact with the angel Jibril, and how he went through a process of being put into discomfort and pain, as it's described. He was squeezed to a point where couldn't read. Said that he couldn't. This went on to retire. Fast, he was able to read the initial verses of the surah entitled Iqra, or reading, or proclaiming. So there's great wisdom and insight into the process of Ramadan, whether we're new or old, because there are varying levels of health for our proceeding going forward with our life in the best manner, most excellent manner. And it requires us knowing. We're required to know our religion. We're required to know it. We proclaim, like I mentioned, the first pillar of establishment of the faith is the shahada, or witnessing. But we're not being asked to witness blindly. We you know, a witness identifies information that they have seen, perceived with their five senses. The witness is declaring that I know this to be what I perceive. So al-Islam, the first step is to witness, but then we are to come to know and understand the standards upon which we're accepting the Muslim life. And their standards are made very clear, you know, and we may not think about it in this way, but the idea of devotional attention, we could call it prayer, if you will, or salat, this ritual process, it affects our ability to understand ourselves better, as well as understand the life that we deal with day to day. You know, the prayer process, it's for any that may not be a part of the Muslim community, it's an humbling, but it's also a very, very affirming process. you know, we stand. You know, we're not, we don't initiate our supplication on our knees. One of the aspects of that supplication is bowing, and the most humbling part of the process is the putting the forehead and nose on the ground, whether it be a prayer mat or some other material. We put our crown, our forehead and nose touching. And that process, I have found, it stimulates a lot of thought. And in explaining that process, we've been told that you can see man's rise and his fall in terms of social life, the life of society, in the postures that are exercised, along with the prayers from the Holy Book. When we're standing, we recite verses from the Holy Book, the Quran. But the postures demonstrate and suggest to us that man rises, he's established by Almighty God and God's word, and then man is challenged. He bows, either bows to the correct logic that is given in the creation itself, or man bows to logic, a way of thinking that is self-absorbed, and because of that, he falls. He comes to, as we've seen, societies come to an end, some of them in disastrous ways, societies coming to an end. And so we've come to understand that our way of life is very instructive. You know, the life of a servant of Almighty God is an instructive life, because God has told us, the Creator has told us, that he created us, but he created us with the design that we need to call on him. We need to seek his help, his assistance, to navigate life, to properly live and grow our life. But we have the option that we can say, no, I think I'll try to make it on my own. And we find out how that works for us, you know, when we try to do without an acknowledgement that we're part of a creative system that is dependent upon the one that created it. And without that understanding, we will be, and we have been, at a loss. So you're welcome to just share with us. You know, we should still, you know, I've shared this with audiences. The conclusion of Ramadan begins the new month in the Islamic calendar called Shawwal. Now, there's a word in the same family of that lettering, Sheen, Y, Lam. There's another word called Shawil, and Shawil suggests the kind of spirit, the kind of behavior that we should have coming out of Shawwal. And that is, for those of you who came through the Nation of Islam experience, we used to talk about being fast-moving, quick-thinking, right down to the modern time. Well, this is what Shawwal is suggesting to us, that we be enthusiastic, we be exact, right and exact, in our living of our day-to-day life. And if you're coming out of Ramadan, tired and feeling kind of let down, if something didn't go right for you, you know, you need to utilize more fervently the process of salat for devotional attention to the one who made us, you know, the one who gave us our human life. We call on God, say, "Oh Lord, help me," you know, because this life is very challenging, especially now, right? The period that we're in is a period of great change. You know, some people say, you know, we're living in the judgment day. And there are a lot of indications to suggest that and confirm that thinking that we are in a time of great time of religion, where those things that were said about Almighty God being looked into more thoroughly to see the truth of the matter. You know, because people say a lot of things about God, you know. So at a certain period of time, you know, I'm looking at a picture of how sometimes mothers will allow their children to be a little unruly, you know, to express themselves. So she's looking at what she has to deal with and thoughts on how she's going to do life conform to what is good for it and what is good for the family, and to be socialized. And they talk about if a child is not socialized by a certain age, and I've seen some wild ones, you know, but if they're not socialized, they say, because of study. You know, there's so many studies of the human life that a lot of us are aware of, some of us are not aware of, how Western man has the curiosity to try to understand itself. So, again, going back to the mother, you know, she watches this new life expressing itself. And sometimes she has to correct it early on. She can be nourishing the child at her breast. And the child at a certain age will bite and cause hurt to the mama. She has to correct it in order to keep that child continuing to give her pain at her breast when she's feeding it. You know, she has to get the child's attention that that's not acceptable. So, you know, life lessons, you know, we observe life, but are we really seeing life, you know, and how it operates? You know that the devil doesn't want you to see life and how it's supposed to operate. You know, the devil certainly wants to keep you distracted and your attention your attention going to those things that will not enhance your life, but your attention to those things that will detract or take away from your life. So again, we invite you. This is Not Just Talk. I'm your host, Michael Hamdine. And we're just dealing with the open mic tonight. You can press 1, and share your thoughts. If you want to ask a question, and praise be to Allah. Have a good time. And I think we're going to go ahead and, since I'm seeing no one responding to that invitation, we're going to go ahead and go to a public service announcement. And stay with us. We see you there. We'll be back.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to AM360. Join your host, Munira Habil, every Tuesday from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as we explore relationship topics addressing what we didn't know, what we've learned, and what we need to know and why. Because on this show, it's all about courtship and marriage.
Thank you. Assalamu alaikum. This is Ni'mat Shaheed, restorative justice practitioner for the Oakland Unified School District and host on AM360's The Pearls of Women Quranic Mondays. We're asking you to help us make a difference in the life of a student. We need you to spread the word that CWSC is offering 5 college scholarships in the form of direct financial aid to students who qualify and are graduating from high school this year or current college students. Learn more and apply online today at cwsc.us. But hurry, the deadline for applications is June the 20th. Thank you for helping secure our next generation's intelligentsia. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Edward Willis, advisor at Graceline Community, asking you to join me in supporting community-wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360. Make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or phone in your pledge to 910-317-0297. Again, make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or by phone at 910-317-0297. Together, we can remake the world. Thank you.
And we're back. This is Not Just Talk with your host, Michael Hameen. And this is Open Mic Thursday. Press 1 to come into the queue to share your thoughts with us. I was just thinking, we introduced some thoughts around the Ramadan because of a class that I was in this afternoon. And a hadith was given about the fast of Ramadan. And I thought about this process that the angel Jibril, who's identified as the angel of revelation, who reveals to the prophet, and the process that Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, was put through in receiving the first of the revelations of Quran. And I thought about a connection in terms of the process that Almighty God, Allah, permitted us to go through as African-American people to prepare us for the job of carrying the Quran, demonstrating the life of the Quran in community, in our community life, and the sharing with others in terms of the great mercy and help that the Quran provides for, not just for Muslims, but the Quran provides great help in terms of helping us to understand ourselves, giving us some insight or understanding into how Almighty God operates, and helping us to understand those things that will challenge us. And we're thankful to Allah for giving us a heads up, so to speak. You know, scripture gives us a heads up in terms of things to look out for. You know, the putting of our father Adam and his wife out of the garden is not just a historical event or a scriptural event. We know if we're looking at scripture from that light, there's not a whole lot we're going to get out of it in terms of helping our own life. Many of you know, some of you have been to college. Some of you have heard how college, those who have gone to college have come into a different way of looking at life and situations. You know, there's certain things that taking place historically that we can look at in terms of picture language and its representation in terms of how we can advance our life or avoid the pitfalls that will help damage our life. So that kind of elevated thinking, you know, abstract thinking, they call it, you know, they have other words for it. But the abstract thinking helps us to look beyond the surface of a thing. And Almighty God tells us in the Quran that the surface of the life that he has created is it's distracting type of what's the word I'm looking for? The surface language or the surface appearance of a thing is a gharur, or it's distracting, but it's also deceptive. That's the word I'm looking for. Thank you. Alhamdulillah. Yeah, it's deceptive. You know, we look at a tree and we look at the leaves and the branches and the bark, the protection of the tree, how it's protected, comes and we see how there's a root system to the trees, and we get information. Now, if we're only looking at it in terms of the tree, well, there's a certain amount of information we can get out of it, and we come to understand that we can use this tree material to build houses, build furniture, and the like. But here, another utility of Scripture. Here, Almighty God, Allah, is telling us in the Quran that the human life is like a tree. Now, let's look at that. And I'm just going to let you think on that. You know, that the human life that we have has been compared by the creator of that human life, compared us to a tree. So I'm not going to take it any further than that. If you'd like to share what you see in that, press 1 and share with the audience, if you will. And we appreciate you joining in. This is Open Mic Thursday. For those of you who are just joining in, we ask you to share your thoughts and reflections and make it a conversation that can help others. You know, when you talk about certain ideas, when you express those ideas going from thought to verbalizing, it helps in the process of utility of those particular thoughts or ideas, you know, verbalization and sharing. And there's a certain kind of dynamic that takes place. We've got a caller, so we're going to go right to them. Caller, welcome. State your name and where you're calling from. Caller, your mic is open. Okay. I recognize the phone number. Gonna wait another minute or two to see if you can come out of mute and share with us. And any others that would like to share, press 1, and we'll recognize your desiring to speak, and we'll bring you into the conversation. But again, you know, the way the Creator has designed life is not a surface operation. There's so many things that we learn from life when we really want to look into life. We really want to understand on a deeper level beyond the surface level. And Almighty God has given us the equipment to do that. Caller?
Yes. Assalamu alaikum.
Yes. Alaikum assalam. Come on in.
Bob Melvin, Florida.
Welcome.
Yes, thank you.
Sir.
Thank you, Mike. I was enjoying the conversation and appreciate the invitation to chime in and make some comments. I was definitely fit in the concept of growth, that Allah has created us to grow, create us like plants, like plants to grow. And the Quran addresses, how the Quran addresses the potential that's in every individual to grow, and invite us to seize the opportunity to grow. And I heard you mention Ramadan, and how that month itself also invites us to sacrifice, to discipline ourselves, to prepare ourselves, advancing our life, taking, you know, I like to reflect on it as an opportunity to be back in charge of your own life after the society and the influences and the things that you have to accomplish during the year, deal with during the year, has a tendency to wear on you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us that opportunity every year to reinvigorate our focus and our potential, and nourish all those things that we need to grow. Yeah, that analogy of the human being as a plant is such a powerful analogy to dwell on, for us to see. So
I agree.
Appreciate the program, and I hope I did add a little something to that topic. And there's much more to be said about growth. There's much more to be said.
Yeah, so we're gonna say a little more, because you brought something to my attention. You know, and I've thought about it before. We mentioned the process of Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, receiving revelation. And there was difficulty, and I'm even going to say there was some pain involved, the way it's described in the Hadith report. There was some pain and discomfort involved in his receiving those first five verses, say. And when you plant a seed in the ground, the seed undergoes the nature of it being planted is oppressive. You know, it oppresses the seed. The seed is in a place where it's not necessarily put at rest. You know, the pressure around the seed is there. And that pressure stimulates that seed, along with the idea of getting the proper moisture and the proper heat coming from the sun, activates that seed to come out, you know, to come out of its shell, so to speak, and to burst forth with a new life. You know, no longer the life of the seed, it becomes the life of a plant.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there's constructing plans there, you know. And I know I was the kind of guy, as a little guy, you know, I wanted everything to be all right. You know, I didn't like discomfort or pain, you know. And I remember complaining to my mother. I was feeling these aches and pains. And all that. Oh, that's just growing pain. You're all right. You know. I didn't understand how life operated, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But life, there's a certain amount of discomfort in life, but it's got a purpose. It's not discomfort and pain without a purpose. And I just recently heard this, and I'm going to share this where I find it relevant. But I just recently heard that Imam Muhammad's advice to a young woman that had been sexually assaulted, and the advice was she asked Almighty God. Now, you know, you can't undo that, but the imam was telling her to ask Almighty God for whatever she wanted, you know, that God was there to give relief to her. She had gone through this horrible event, being raped. And she was in despair, which is understandable. But these events, these type of horrific events, are not without an aim and a purpose. You know, God is not a crazy God. These life experiences are there for a reason. And God is the God of compensation. If you lose something, he can compensate for that and give you something much richer if you can appreciate it, if you trust in how he has established life, that if you've gone through a horrific event, call on him and ask him, you know, and if you don't know, to give you what you need, because you don't know what you need. You know, I mean, that's what I do. You know, look,
yeah.
I'm not smart enough, Lord. You know, I'm not seeing, I don't know. You know, and I don't know. So help me with what I need, Lord. Help me to ask for what I need to have to navigate life, you know?
Yes. You know, that duality, ma'am, taught us to acknowledge to God that and ask God to take charge of our lives for us. Yeah, that was so interesting advice to be given, to be shared, and to anyone who was experiencing that type of devastating situation and troubling and burdensome, to trust, to have that faith that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can bring the cure. Capable and able to do so. So yes, that's so important. So important. And that's also, as you mentioned, an opportunity to grow from an oppressed condition, like a seed that's under oppression. This is not a good situation, but for the individual to overcome it and grow into a better person is also a great sign of the potential that's in the human being, the dignity and honor that's in every child of Adam, to be able to overcome very oppressive conditions and still grow to fulfill their potential. And that's and purpose, potential and purpose. And that's for every individual. Allah has put that, created us for a certain destiny. And we may have rough terrain to travel to get there, but we are moving forward towards that destiny, and that's something that we can have, we can rest assured in, that Allah can pray that every person out there who may be having difficulty, maybe having challenges in their life, to have that type of belief and faith that our Creator, who's created us, can restore the life. So we pray we make that do our for everyone.
I mean, thank you. Brothers and sisters in the church, I remember them talking about, you know, and used to talk about it much more often, you know, our ways are not, God's ways are not our ways, you know. But there are things that you observe in looking into the creation and how it's structured. You know, there's a logic to the life that God has created. We see there's a certain pattern. Things grow from a state of weakness to strength. Things grow from a state of simplicity to complication, more complicated, complex structures in life. And these are signs to us, you know, this life has been given to human beings. Now, we're not as strong as elephants or fierce as lions and tigers, But Almighty God has given life to the human being, to the human family. And I'm a history. I love to read about and hear about history. And I look at, you know, the savagery, the disregard for life that human beings have grown out of. You know, when you read about savage tribes like Genghis Khan and the trail of death, that death and destruction that these groups had brought about, and you don't see any such. You know, every now and then, you know, like this craziness that's going on in Sudan with these two generals killing one another and killing innocent people. It's insane for Muslims. And it was going on during Ramadan. Does it show you that, you know, the Muslim life has its challenges? You know, you have people who identify in that light just like Christians identify. You know, and you've got these folks that are mass killing innocent life, and, you know, they grew up in a Christian household. You know, they had Christian influence. You know, a lot of times we don't like, you know, we like to, okay, look at the Muslim, but we don't like to look at ourselves, you know. You know, this is supposed to be a Christian nation. It's savagery in terms of gun violence that's been taking place. You know, life after life. And particularly innocent life. These are not gangbangers criminal types. These are school children and people out shopping and the like, that whose lives are in church, in houses of worship, and being killed. And we need to look at the kind of environment, physical as well as moral and intellectual. What are these people feeding on that's causing all of this gun violence? You know, kind of Kool-Aid are they drinking? What are they drinking and eating, so to speak, in their environment that caused them to have so little respect, so little regard for human life? We need to look at these things and put them
us. And the leadership. Is also troubled. Leadership is really at an impasse as to how to deal or approach these issues. You know, we are looking at so many issues that our leaders have dropped the ball on in terms of being able to formulate policies and thinking, have the proper thinking to deal with it. And I was just thinking about, you know, the prophet, the hadith of the prophet, you will never enter paradise until you believe, and you will never believe until you practice loving one another. Shall I show you how to create love, spread the peace, spread the salam, spread the peace? You know, and these things are not prevalent in the thinking anymore. You know, we used to have thought for today all around us, some positive information available, but love, peace, and harmony, getting along with each other, it's just not part of our talk and thinking. I think we have to create a different language environment to really help along the process of rejuvenating the society, bringing about positive life again. That's what we were talking about, looking at the human being as a plant to grow and progress. And you know, and the slaughter of the innocent, that's such a powerful statement when people pick up weapons that destroy their body, blow the body into pieces, really, these assault weapons, and execute children with them. That's just such a blatant, it looked like they want to create the ultimate horror. So
I hear this language now about demon time. people's behavior showing that they're demonic influences that they're expressing. And I'm looking, I'm looking for that that supplication, that prayer that Imam Muhammad gave. But I'm seeing other notes where my notebook says, God may permit painful experience to correct us. And we you know, again, understanding Almighty God's way, you know, the killing of innocence, the destruction of innocence gets our attention and causes us not just for just any kind of reflection. It causes us to think deeply, you know, how is this happening? Why is this happening? And then another influence, it doesn't happen for the many. Most of us just regret the fact that innocent life has been taken. But there are others that are motivated to come out of their everyday life and thinking and say, I've got to do something about this. Now, that's not what happens to most of us, but there are some that are affected by certain circumstances that say, I have to be a part of changing this. Cannot allow this to go on, me watching this go on, without doing something about it. And that's where that's where change takes place. You know, a person says, if these damn leaders supposed to be representing us can't do anything about it, God damn it, I can do something about it. You know, I'm going to do my best to do something about it.
Yeah, and you know, the children have picked up that banner. You know, the children who are affected by these mass killings, et cetera, who are threatening schools, et cetera, they are coming forward and demanding that their parents and others do something about this. You know, they are frightening the schools. They're not showing. And you know, and I've been in situations where you know, you hear these loud noises and et cetera, and you have to be taken aback to wonder if there's something going on here unusual, you know?
Yeah. Right.
So, you know, you hear some firecrackers going off or something like this, making loud noises. You don't know whether this is just casual something, or for a fleeting moment your mind goes to these issues of gun violence, you know. And I've also been one who has experienced being shot at our local massacre. Yeah. So it is traumatic when you when it happens to you, especially if you have to revisit the place where it happened at.
Yes, sir.
You know, it's always on your mind. It won't leave your mind right away. It takes quite a bit of time to get through that, get past that point where you're not expecting it could happen again, you know.
Yes, sir.
So
it's trauma.
So yeah, it is trauma. Traumatic experience. It is a traumatic experience. All right, Michael, thank you so much for allowing me to share.
Thank you. I appreciate you.
Yes, sir. You as well. Appreciate this work you're doing here. I will. I certainly will. Thank you.
All right. Assalamu alaikum. Callers, we invite you to press 1 to share in the conversation. I'm looking for the dua that Imam Muhammad shared with us, the supplication that he shared with us. And it's one pointing to calling upon the Creator to direct our life and our life energies, and to want to be, desiring to be what God prefers us to be, wanting our life to be what He prefers, you know, and not to allow us to get away from that focus, to stay with that focus and live our life. And when we look at the life of the prophets of the Bible, the true picture of the prophets of the Bible,
which is confirmed in the Holy Quran, their true picture. And, you know, I just felt I had to say it that way because there are presentations that kind of contradict the idea that the Creator has chosen these men. Because, you know, the question is asked, I know my soul asked the question, how could a man that God picked do something like that? And I thank God for being in the association of Imam Waruddin Muhammad, who has a fresh eyes to understand how scripture operates, and to see that the depiction, the negative depiction of the prophets is a picture of those within that time that this behavior was going on during the time of the prophets. But Allah does not pick a prophet and then allows them to go stray and do something that even, you know, the regular believer, so to speak, would reject. And we have another caller, 706. Welcome. State your name and where you're calling from.
Yes, sir. I said, alaykum, this is Brother Muhammad from the Ummah of Prophet Muhammad by the way of Columbus, Georgia. Again,
welcome.
Our intent is clear, but our language is not. Allah don't pick nobody. Allah created us. He already know what we're going to do, what we're going to do. What he does is give us a free will. And he cherishes and nourishes us by reminding us with the angels and everything else in creation that we're here to do a test. We're here to be tested by Shaitan. He's trying to prove that he is better than us and don't have to submit himself to our authority that Allah is giving us over him. So we have to be real, real conscious to ask Allah to help us regardless of how basic what we talk about, that we got to use the right English translations if we use the English. Allah don't pick nobody. He's already created us. What we're going to do if we go one way and what we're going to do if we go the other way. Now, we're trying to convey to everyone that you have collation to hear and obey, not question what Allah say or be confused by what Allah say. He makes it clear. But we do know you do have to question anything outside of clarity that puts a doubt in your mind because most likely it's coming from the Shaitan. And then we add on to it in our confusion by thinking that we we forget about Allah first. We forget, and we see the stain or we see what attracts us, failing to realize it's not supposed to be there. Everything is supposed to be clear to the believer as we grow into clearance. When we start moving everything out of our way, except only to hear what Allah tells us in the Quran and hear what Allah tells us in the way that Prophet Muhammad done his uswa, his pondering, and how he always turned to Allah. So, again, as we continue to grow, even if it be another 1,000 years, it's never going to be unclear to the believer. And our clarity of how we, well, all we want to do is follow that Quran to the Arabia. One day we're praying that all of us and everybody and our Arabic leaders, Quranic leaders, will be share the reward that Allah has given by learning the language in clarity, so that we will help anybody from whatever language they speak before the Quranic Arabic, you know, we can encourage them to learn it yourself. And maybe a few years down the road, there'll be so many Quranic Arabic people who's given the translation of the Quran in French, Japanese, Chinese, Latin, whatever it might be, enough so that the human being can keep the reality in their mind that this is your Creator talking to you. Ain't nothing we can do for us. There's nothing Allah wants from us, nothing, except for us to use our free will to show Satan that there's nothing he can say to us, no image he can put in our mind, no scenario that he can give us to make us want to be a part of my crew or any kind of pigmentation of clarity. So just want to say that we always got the answer. We always got that. The answer is that we don't know how to get out of this darkness that we're in because we're still listening to the dark. See, one thing in closing, Everybody's still under the illusion that Shaitan can be to your left, to your right, and all in front of you. Shaitan cannot get on the Mustaki at all. It will, in our language, burn him up. He's calling from behind us. He's talking through the back of our head. He's talking through our subconscious. Even when he talks to our right ear, he goes to the right side, but he's behind us. And what he's trying to do is create a illusion. As Allah showed us when Prophet Muhammad, you know, Satan thought he could make him think that he was in front of him and taking over guide him. But Prophet Muhammad said in the translation, it's the translation, the language that is messed up. When Prophet Muhammad said, get ye behind me, he told you what he was saying, paraphrasing, you don't exist in front of me. This is the Mustaqim. You don't have the ability to come around on this path here because you are in a state of rebellion. You impure, I'm pure. So you, even though I can hear you, whispering to me, and I see you trying to make me think that you're to my left, to my right, and try to intimidate my human intelligence. So he told him, get you back behind me. That's where you live at. That's where you stay at. Don't try to make me think that you're in front of me and leading me. And your leadership is the right way, like he tried to do Adam. You know, when we look at what he done to Adam, he tried to make Adam think that he was in front of him, and if you follow my leadership, I'll give you more than what Allah gave both of us. And Adam slipped on that. So it's very simple what we're doing, because Allah said he made this easy. Allah said, yeah, I made this way for you easy. So all this difficulty that we're going through is of our own fault for listening to the shaitan and then coming up with logic and rationale to question Allah, like Shaitan done, you know, when it's already clear. If we can just get ourselves to realize that we're facing a Qibla, that shaitan cannot penetrate. He's always behind us. That's why he said, Allah, all I done was call them. You don't call people from the front. If you're already in front of them, you don't call nobody in the front. It's either you behind them or they behind you if someone is calling to you. So when we start with the basics, this is what happens when we have the basics of yes, sir, go ahead.
I don't think it's that simple because the language,
okay,
the language in
I got you. Listen to what you just said. I don't think it's that simple.
Let me finish what I'm saying.
Yes, sir. Yeah,
language, as we mentioned earlier, before you came on, we were talking about how this life, God makes clear that if you're looking at it on the surface, it's gurur. It's a deception if you're only seeing the surface of life. The idea in the language of, you know, and we also talked about abstract language, picture language that's expressing higher ideas and concepts. You know, we approach the Quran as we approach it with what we have in terms of our experiences and our intellectual capacity and the like. And it's designed to grow that capacity, those resources that God has put in us. So the idea of Satan clearly saying in the Quran that I'm going to approach you from different angles, from the front, the back, from the right, the left. You know, I've thought about it in terms of how the brain is structured. You know, you've got quadrants of the brain, and we're also taught that God says that we're approached by Shaitan and his group from a place that we are not aware of. You know, so the language needs to be understood, but I agree with you in terms of deepening our faith, because faith is like everything else that we come into. We grow, you know, we grow in increments into where we become, and there's a certain Arabic language that suggests to us the distinctions between mu'min, you know, the believer who believes, and once he believes, he's 10 toes down, so to speak. You know, he's immovable. She's immovable in her faith. And then there are others that, you know, they have to have certain experiences to strengthen that, you know. And in fact, all of us have to have experiences that help us to be strengthened in our faith. So I understand what you're saying, but I have to say that the language is not as clear as we might want to think it is. It's language that has to be thought about in terms of the shaitan. I'll give you an example. In chapter 4, verse 119, you hear the Satan. God presents this is God talking, but he's presenting it to us in the way of Satan talking to his associates, those that he has influence over. And Satan says, let's slice or slit the ear of the cattle. Okay, that's, what kind of language is that? You know, slit the ear of the cattle? Well, Imam Muhammad, with his clear perception of the guidance of God in the Quran, he identified that we have, as human beings, and this is backed up by philosophical thinking, I think he mentioned Descartes as a gentleman that presented this idea of the different dispositions that the human being has. You know, you can find a rat, you can find a cat, the dog, you can find a cow, you can find a cat. And the Imam was sharing from the focus of the Hajj how we are called upon, given four animals that we can slaughter on the Hajj: the camel, the goat, the cow, and the sheep. Well, the Imam told us about a sheepish disposition. They only want peace. He told us about the goat disposition, you know, that kind of intellectual curiosity that refuses nothing, no discrimination. The camel being circumspect, you know, looking around and you know, how the camel's disposition is this way or that way. Then he told us about the cow. And, you know, we know cattle are herd animals. You know, so here the ear of the cattle is being called upon to be by Satan to slit its ear. And we know nowadays we hear about trauma, human beings being subjected to trauma. And when you, I had an experience with the ear trauma. I had a hornet when I was maybe 4 or 5 years old down the country, and a hornet attacked me and stung me on the ear. And it was like I saw white light. I couldn't think straight. I'm jumping up and down. And that made me kind of like be gravitated towards this verse 119 in the Quran in chapter 4, because I understood the nature of my ear being affected by pain and discomfort and how it affected my whole body's disposition. So we need, and Imam Muhammad said he was working on it before he passed, a Quranic translation into language that is suitable for, more suitable for English-speaking people. And well, it's a lot to be said. I don't want to, you know,
if I can give a quick response, I would like to appreciate that. Now, well, I got all seven of the tapes that Imam done with Imam Darnell Kareem and Vernon Farid. I have all of them as it came out, and I got them from Imam Muhammad. You know, when I paid for them, I bought them from him. And so, again, when we look at the reviewing that we're doing, you know, Imam was talking to us at the level of our mentality and understanding. And he did not want to burden us with just clear truth when he knows that we wasn't ready for clear truth. You know, he had to deal with the darkness that we were in, the contrast we was in, the ball of confusion that we was in, and bring the light to a direct connection to our natural inclination. Because Allah created us and Allah blessed him from the Quran and from the life of Prophet Muhammad, how to talk to him like Prophet Muhammad had to talk to the Quraysh. And then when he seen that the Quraysh couldn't and didn't want to accept clear guidance from the Creator, you know, he had to do what Imam Muhammad had to do. He had to walk away from us.
Well, it wasn't all of them. you know, there were those that were open.
No, no, I agree with you. Yeah, Louise, there is never always somebody believe. That's what we're trying to convince. That's what we need to understand right now. There's always somebody in the community of Imam Walker Muhammad by Allah's permission who believe and is trying to get everybody to come to Shura. But we can't get everybody from knowledge. Everybody is hung up on knowledge right now.
We need to say that directly because Allah also says that most of the people don't know. So that puts an obligation on those that do know, the obligation on their souls. You know, your own souls obligate you. So there's an obligation on those that do know to ask Allah for strategies to help those that want to come out of the darkness to come out.
Well, he said to do it. Here, another thing the Iman quote, Iman said, our responsibility as his followers at that time when he said this, is that we make sure everybody knows right from wrong and have the opportunity to follow those two decisions. So that means we have to teach people al-Islam. We can't keep on teaching people everything and don't teach them the favor from Allah and what that favor is and how to encourage us to put the trust that there is a God and put our will in his will and be a model for those who don't know. Because they can see us and smell us and taste us better than listening to us and trying to comprehend all this information when they don't believe, because they're being oppressed.
I agree.
They did this, they been that. But if we, that's why it's so important now that he left us with the understanding. Establish this model community based upon the Quran and the life of Prophet Muhammad. He said, that's my leader.
Yeah.
He said, I want to let y'all know what I've been doing. Remember, it comes from the Quran and the life of, example, of Prophet Muhammad and my sincerity, like Allah says, obligates Allah to educate him and guide him through his du'as and answer his du'as, his mother and father's du'as, like he do all of them. His father prayed hard that he have a son to lead us there. His mother made every effort to make sure that her du'as, because without making du'as without deeds and actions counts for nothing. So when Imam Muhammad was seen to be that one amongst his children, he made every effort to keep up his du'as. He even prophesied a little bit, used that terminology, though we know he wasn't doing it in the way I'm saying. But he said, I'm preparing you for the Muslim world, because he knows and already seen who's going to teach us. If he can keep up his du'as and keep the right type of educational process of that Quran and keep Prophet Muhammad and Imam Muhammad's learning process, and the understanding would come naturally if he keep up his prayers, if he keep up doing this, then we are the recipient of that. But we still can't tear ourselves away from the many concepts that God had a son. A lot of us right now, we still think and are under the influence of the Christian mentality. And though we are fully aware that God didn't have no son and that the white man and all the schemes and shit don't come with that, we still have not trusted the reality that there is one God and Muhammad is the messenger. Because we would have been, if we had listened to Imam Muhammad from the day he came on board in 1975, we would have no doubt and we hadn't took this long to start following that we ain't got. And still, a lot of us still don't want to submit that we have to follow the Quran and the life example of Prophet Muhammad. We'll take the Quran,
but we still haven't yet yielded. That's not something that's unusual. That's not something that's unusual to the human condition down through history. And God tells us about
the Quran from Adam to Muhammad. This is what people have been doing. They lose their faith in the prophets and messages that Allah sent to them by listening to the shaitan. And whatever scheme he had going during their time period on this earth, they were still under that influence because he was controlling their food, their shelter, their clothing, and their transportation, and their education.
Well, that's the challenge for the believers. The believers are challenged as other believers were challenged during their time, and especially during the time of Prophet Muhammad, who brought the last message to correct what people have said, what people have misrepresented about the Creator, about Almighty God. And, you know, it's interesting that in the Bible, you've got the story of Gideon taking a large group, and Allah says, no, if I allow you to take this large group going against the enemy, then you'll think that you your large numbers were the cause of your victory. So I'm going to test you all at the water, and you'll only be allowed to take a small group. Gideon, you're only going to be allowed to take a small group forward against the enemy. A similar presentation is in the Quran, and I think that's something for us to look at, that similarity, that a small group, Allah says that he's going to give permission, I think it's Talut, to take a small group forward and give them the victory. And so it's to suggest that this transformation, God bringing his light into the world to establish a new social reality based on righteousness, that he's going to bring this about. We're on his, on Almighty God's clock, and he's bringing this about, the bringing about the social dignity to the women. You know, for so many thousands of years, women have been lied upon, that you're the devil's helper, you're the cause of the mischief and mess in the world. Well, God has been correcting that, and the Imam talked about that in terms of how women are being established even in the political light, you know, because man has made such a mess of the world, and women with their mother nature know how to correct that. So there are a lot of things that we're observing that are on God's clock. And I've been given a notification that we only have 60 seconds. But Muhammad, we appreciate you're helping us, and it's been a very stimulating conversation. We hope that you'll join us again next week. We ask the audience as well, join us next week, and I hope that you'll be more stimulated to do as Muhammad has done and share his thoughts and his insights into the guidance of Scripture. And we hope you'll join us all, join us next week, all of you. We were going to make a dua at this time. O Allah, guide us among those you've guided aright. Leave us among those you save. Bless us in whatever you grant us, and deliver us from the harm that you judge. You judge, and none can judge against you. And those whom you befriend are not disgraced. Thank you all. Join us again next week. As-salamu alaykum.
Walaikum assalam.
Human being on the scene, since prehistoric, had to give his heart to a love supreme. Modern days, different ways, so metaphoric, hesitates to be